Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated October 1st through October 7th, 2020. We'll start with the article headlined, How They're Doing It Now, Monticello High School Marching Band, October 7th. The current pandemic has meant changes on how things are done, but area schools, agencies, and services are finding ways to persevere. The Journal Republican wanted to share with readers some of the adjustments that are being made. First up is the Monticello High School Marching Band. Director Allison Allender answered some questions about how that offering is being handled this fall. JR, without weekend competitions, what is the marching band doing this fall? Allender, we're still learning a show. Our show this year is called Midnight City and includes songs from U2, M82, Frank Ticelli, Samuel Barber, and John Mackey. Due to the fact that our camp was abbreviated, it is a little shorter, but we are still learning drill and music. JR, how are things done differently for the band amid COVID precautions? Allender, things are very different right now with our COVID precautions. Students come to band and have spots where they can socially distance to put their belongings. Then, when we are learning drill, the students wear a normal mask. And when we play, students have a mask with a slit in them. We also have bell covers on our brass instruments, as that was recommended with the aerosol research studies. Mrs. Amanda Allen, co-director, and I have been watching webinars and reading the scientific research on aerosol studies to make sure that we're using the recommended mitigation. Barry Hauser, director of the Marching Illini, has been an amazing resource for Illinois educators with the mitigation recommendations and research studies. We are incredibly grateful to Mrs. Amanda Allen and band parents and grandparents for helping to make band masks and the bell covers for the smaller instruments. The school district purchased bell covers for our larger instruments. JR, what precautions are being taken for the band? Allender, we are taking the safety of the band very seriously. Our drill was actually written so that we can have our whole band on the field. Our drill writer, Evan Hines, did a great job keeping the drill interesting, even with all of the social distancing. Our band is divided into three groups, and they never get within 30 feet of one another. Also, within the three groups, students are socially distanced as well. Mrs. Allen and I are doing everything we can to keep our kids safe. JR, can you rehearse inside at this point? Allender, we're only rehearsing outside at this time. JR, how good did it feel to be able to play at Maple Point last week? Allender, we really enjoyed being able to perform for the residents at Maple Point. There were also many members of the community that were cheering for us along the way, and that really meant a lot. JR, do you have other performances scheduled? Allender, we're currently working on some virtual performances at the end of this season. JR, do you have anything else to add? Allender, our students have done an amazing job adapting to band with these safety precautions. We are all very grateful to be together and still to be able to make music and learn about the marching arts. Ordinance approved to regulate food trucks in Monticello, October 7th. As the site of food trucks increases in Monticello, the city has approved an ordinance to regulate them. The City Council unanimously approved the ordinance on September 28th, requiring mobile food vendors to register with the city, submit health department permits, provide proof they have permission to locate on property where they operate, and submit vehicle registration and proof of liability and automobile insurance. After receiving numerous complaints from local establishments regarding the lack of regulation for mobile food truck vendors, Mayor Larry Stoner and City Administrator Terry Summers directed staff and legal counsel to draft an ordinance that addresses regulations for these types of businesses. City Community Development Director Callie Jo McFarland told the council. The city has no oversight nor requirements as to making sure those operations are following the guidelines as they relate to reporting sales tax, securing the appropriate health department certificates and insurance, she said prior to passage of the ordinance. Would they need to get a permit each week then? Asked City Council member Tammy Sebbins. The way it's set up, yes, but I'm sure we can work something out where if they know they're going to be here, say, every Friday for a month, we could permit it one time, said McFarland. Fellow council member Rodney Burris suggested more of an annual license requirement, which Police Chief John Carter agreed would be a great idea. That was incorporated into the law, which goes into effect January 1st. Other parts of the mobile food vendor ordinance include all items for sale and their price shall be posted on the exterior of the food vehicle or pushcart. Food vendor personnel must not drink alcoholic beverages, shout, or call to prospective customers or disturb the peace while on duty. Food trucks may not be located within 200 feet of any school property between 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. when school is in session, unless permission has been obtained by the school district. Food vendors can operate 8 hours in one location between from 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. each day. Service cannot be provided door-to-door. Permits cost $25 and $10 for each additional vehicle or pushcart. Registration requirements are waived for food vehicles taking part in special events that are authorized by their own city-issued permit. 9 new cases of COVID-19 in DeWitt County over past 2 days, October 7th. DeWitt County recorded 9 positive tests for COVID-19 on Monday and Tuesday, according to the DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department. 2 cases were reported in Piatt County during that time. In DeWitt, which now has had 171 total cases, 7 of the cases were in Clinton, with 1 each in Farmer City and Weldon. For Piatt County, with 169 cases overall, the new cases were in Cerro Gordo and Mansfield. Current COVID-19 hospitalizations include 3 in DeWitt County and 1 in Piatt. The age ranges of the newest cases, 2 minors, 1 male in his 20s, 1 male in his 30s, 1 female in her 60s, 1 male in his 60s, 1 female in her 70s, 1 male in his 70s, 2 females in their 80s, 1 male in his 80s. Health officials note that cases are spiking locally, especially in DeWitt County, and advise frequent hand washing, social distancing, and wearing a mask while in public. A free mobile testing unit will be set up at the Health Department in Clinton, 5924 Revere Road, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on October 10th and 11th. Refinancing to Save City $141,000 by Steve Hoffman, October 6th. The City of Monticello will cut about $141,000 in interest fees off of some current borrowing after voting to refinance debt certificates originally taken out to help pay for pool construction and the city's newest water tower. I guess one silver lining that's coming out of all this COVID-related stuff is that interest rates are at historic lows right now, said Kendall King of King's Financial Consulting in Monticello. We haven't seen interest rates like this in a very, very long time. In fact, never in my career. The current financial climate allowed the city to refinance 4% debt issued in 2009 to continue at about 1.5% interest, resulting in the savings over the life of the certificates, which will still be paid off in 2029. The portion of pool construction borrowing that came from a voters' referendum is not being restructured, since those have a shorter life, with repayment completed in 2023. But King said it gives the city an opportunity to fund other projects should it choose to continue levying that 18 cents for its bond and interest fund after the pool bonds are paid. That would be absolutely no raise on taxes, tax rate. So it would just be extending your pay structure, said King. I know there's been discussion of some potential road projects that could fall under that dollar amount, he added, saying it would generate an estimated $4 million over 20 years. Adding another 17 cents to that would generate about $8.6 million total over that time. I know there's been discussion over potential ball fields for a long time that have been going on. As a brand new parent, my wife and I selfishly would appreciate using those at some point. But I trust you guys to make that decision, said King. He was referring to the 30 acres the city purchased on the west edge of town in 2009, with the intent of putting ball fields, a walking path, and fishing pond there. Funding for the estimated $10 million project has been the issue. The Monticello Recreation Foundation began a fundraising effort for the effort last year. In other action, the City Council approved the purchase of a 2012 Chevy 3500 service truck, which will cost $16,000 after trade-in. Public Works Director Jim Grabarczyk said a purchase was scheduled for next fiscal year, but that he pulled the trigger early due to the low price. He said a new one would cost in the $70,000 range. Approved a variance for a home on 1002 East Chestnut Street. It will allow prospective homeowners Vaughn and Hannah Pierce to use all but 1 foot 9 inches of the 30-foot front yard setback to construct an addition to the home. It was pointed out that there is still about 30 feet from the property line to the street. Monticello Christian Academy to hold open house at new building, October 6th. Monticello Christian Academy will hold an open house at its soon-to-be new location at 1109 North State Street in Monticello on October 11th, 13th, and 15th. The school plans to move to that new location in January. The open house will be from 4 to 6 p.m. each night and include guided tours, a look at renovation plans, donation opportunities, and refreshments. Attendees are required to wear masks, and tours will be in small groups so that social distancing can be observed. There are so many good things about this move, and it is hard to narrow it down to one best thing, but we are extremely excited about our new neighbors at the Piatt County Nursing Home, said school administrator Amber Warmbler. We cannot wait to be able to wave and say hello whenever we want, and hopefully one day soon be able to visit inside again. The bond between children and the elderly is one of the most precious friendships you will ever see. She added there is plenty of work to be done to get the building ready for the school, with Kester Homes doing the renovation work. A chili dinner fundraiser is also being planned, with details to be announced soon. Other information on the renovation plans and how to make a donation is available on the MCA website at http://www.mcacad.org/new-building-information and on its Facebook page. Monticello Christian Academy currently offers preschool, pre-kindergarten, and kindergarten programs, as well as before and after school programs that serve preschool through fifth graders. It is currently located at 225 East Livingston Street in Monticello. Sage Senior Golfers Honored by Steve Hoffman, October 6th. Monticello High School's 9 senior golfers celebrated senior night with victories on Thursday, October 1st at the Monticello Golf Club. For the girls, Ashley Long earned medalist honors for the second time of the week, this time with a 1-over-37 to help her squad to a win over Blue Ridge. Also scoring for the Sages as they shot 187 as a team were Claire Weber, second place, 42, Amelia Patterson, third, 49, and Tori Taylor, fifth, 59. Blue Ridge's Ashlyn Voiles shot a 50 to take fourth overall as the Knights recorded a team score of 251. The Lady Sages also had the top three finishers, while Blue Ridge's Ashlyn Voiles led the Knights with a fourth place 50. On the boys' side, the Sages' Tanner Buchenkemper earned meet medalist honors with a 1-over-37, with teammate Will Ross carding a 3-over-39 for second place as Monticello bested Leroy and St. Thomas Moore. Leroy's Parker Hogue and St. Thomas Moore's Wilson Kirby tied for third at 4-over-40. The Sage Boys shot a 160 to Best Leroy, 169, and St. Thomas More, 171, on senior night in Monticello. Tanner Buenkemper was meet medalist with a 37, while Will Ross was second overall with a 39. Rounding out Monticello's team score were Matt Erickson and Jared Lockmiller, who each shot 42s to tie for sixth place overall. Boys Golf, Wednesday, September 30th. At Forsyth, Tri-County's Holden Kyle, Villa Grove Heritage's Zach Busing, and Arcola Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond's Alex Coons all finished the Lincoln Prairie Conference Tournament's regulation 18 holes at 81, necessitating a playoff at Hickory Point Golf Course. Kyle defeated Busing on the fourth playoff hole to take medalist honors. The Purple Riders ultimately won the team title, easing past runner-up Ocow Valley 343-380 as Coons was backed by Braden Kaufman's 84. The Blue Devils placed third at 412, the Titans rated fourth with a 431, and Blue Ridge notched fifth at 431 and were paced by Wyatt Summers 99. Bement's Luke Rogers represented his school alone and shot 87. Will Ross and Matthew Erickson shared medalist recognition with matching 2-over 38s for Monticello, pacing the Sages past Mount Zion 163-172 at Monticello Golf Club. Tanner Buenkemper's 43 and Ben Potts's 44 also proved important to the Sages' team victory. Obituaries. Darrell Lee Butch Fritz, 76, of Oakland, was granted his angel wings on Tuesday, September 29th, at the Sarah Bush Lincoln Hospital in Mattoon. The family is graciously abiding by the COVID-19 guidelines and will have a celebration of life service held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family ask that donations be made in Butch's memory to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Dennis Wayne Wells, 66, of Arcola, passed away on Thursday, October 1st, at his residence. Funeral services were held on Tuesday, October 6th. Memorial contributions can be made to the Dennis W. Wells Memorial Fund in care of the State Bank of Bement. ALAH wins conference cross-country meet by Jason Brown, October 6th. Several local area teams competed in the Lincoln Prairie Conference cross-country meet at Crowder Park on Saturday. For the boys' teams, Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond swept the first three spots to help win the meet with 19 points. Ocow Valley placed second, 73, and Cumberland County followed in third, 113. Sarah Gordo scored 113 points for third, Villa Grove Heritage 131 for fifth, Argenta Oriana 140 for sixth, Bement 161 for seventh, and Tri-County 163 for seventh. Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond. For the Ala Knights, senior Leighton Hall won the meet with a time of 15:39.1, and juniors Logan Beckmeyer and Lyle Attic placed second and third respectively, with times of 16:32.0 and 17:15.4. Junior Jace Green ran a 17:24.5 for fifth place, while sophomore Jacob Attic crossed the line at 17:39.2 for eighth place. Junior Jacob Dusen took 13th with a time of 18:02.0, and freshman Jesus Corona placed 21st at 19:13.3. Sarah Gordo. For the Broncos, freshman Dylan Howell ran a 17:24.0 for fourth place, and junior Colin Warren crossed the line at 18:48.6 for 18th. Senior Luke Dobson finished 23rd with a time of 19:35.2, and senior Hunter Rinker ran a 20:50.0 for 31st place. Sophomore John Fries's time of 21:16.2 placed him 37th, and junior Jarrett Lentz and sophomore Cameron Brown placed 42nd and 43rd respectively, with times of 23:07.9 and 23:22.8. Sophomore Kyle Dobson rounded out the Broncos' times at 30:13.0 for 52nd place. The men. For the Bulldogs, junior Jacob Storger placed 20th with a time of 19:09.9, and senior Jesse Quick finished with a time of 19:41.0 for 24th. Sophomore Cade Ombal's time of 20:50.3 was good for 32nd, and freshman Evan Fogerson placed 40th at 22:06.9. Senior Curtis Calk and junior Aiden Marshall placed 45th and 47th, with times of 23:32 and 24:03. "I'm proud of our runners' efforts at the LPC meet," said Bement coach Andrew Brown. "We had several personal bests, and I was pleased with where we finished individually, considering the caliber of talent in the conference this year." Girls' meet. For the girls' meet, Cumberland took first place with 35 points, and ALAH came in second with 45 points. Villa Grove finished third with 64, and Argenta Oriana followed in fourth with 73 points. Men Ocow Valley, Tri-County, and Cerro Gordo also placed runners. ALAH placed 5 runners in the top 15 spots. Sophomore Charlie Condell led ALAH with a second-place finish and a time of 21:07. Sophomore Alicia Frederick placed 7th with a time of 21:57.8, and sophomore Emma Edwards ran a 22:32.0 for 12th place. Junior Sarah Rafferty followed in 13th place at 22:33.2, while senior Mackenzie Brown finished the race with a time of 23.3. Senior Mackenzie Bowles rounded out the ALAH's times with a 23rd place finish at 24:58.9. For Bement, freshman Caroline Hill and sophomore Haley Garrett placed 18th and 19th respectively, with times of 24:16.0 and 24:32.4. Cerro Gordo senior Hannah Hayes placed 26th with a time of 26:56. The Broncos and Bement race against each other again at 4 p.m. October 15th at Bement. Column, Birdland, October 7th, 2020. October 7th. Birdland is suddenly cool and the evening comes earlier every day. The corn is turning papery and golden. The wind rustles through it, shaking it like a rattle. There's a little green yet in some of the leaves, but soon the combine will come and collect the corn. The turkey poults are now as tall as Rosabelle, the old turkey hen, though not as round. Maud and Claude are the royal palms, elegant and slender. Claude looks like a white American peacock when he fans his tail. Marcel, the odd man out, is a bronze. He and Claude have taken to sparring a little over Maud, but sometimes I think it is me they are strutting for. Rosabelle, the old lady of the flock, mostly ignores them. She has taken to fanning her own tail, and she hasn't laid an egg this year, so I think she's ready to retire from the dating game. I heard Claude's first gobble this morning. He and Maud have taken to flying up to roost in the trees, if I let the dusk come before calling them into the coop. I worry a little when they do that. I tell them that with their white feathers, they're like a neon sign in the moonlight for the owls. Eat here! They roost pretty high, and I can just reach the end of the branch to try to shake them out of the tree, but they hold on tight. It's better if I remember to call them in before they fly up there. Minnie May, my little Sarama hen, started a secret nest a few weeks ago. She lays tiny eggs, no bigger than an acorn from a bur oak. Suddenly, her eggs stopped appearing in the nesting boxes, and I wondered where she was putting them. Well, I found them in the little quail house I've been keeping on the floor of the coop, in hopes of hatching some quail eggs some day. As a matter of fact, I found her there, too, sitting on her nest. She had accumulated quite a clutch, almost more than she can cover. I think she has at least 9 or 10, but she got pretty mad when I took her off the nest in order to count them, so I let her be. Since I don't know exactly when she started setting, I don't know when they'll hatch. I just check every day, and every day she gets mad when I lift the lid on the quail box to visit. The goldenrod is in full flower, and my corner meadow is just glowing between that and the white heath asters. My bees are busy bringing pollen back to the hive in various shades of yellow and off-white. It's been a dry month, so I still have to feed them sugar water, and even so, they visit my hummingbird feeders. If only it would rain, they would have plenty of nectar. The last nice soaking rain we had only soaked in a little, as I found out when I planted some mums around the chicken coop. 2 inches down, my shovel hit dry, dry dirt. I filled the holes with water and planted the mums anyway, and my chickens proceeded to split the plants apart. I fenced them off with tomato cages and other wire structures, and we'll see if I can keep the flock from destroying the plants completely. The lilies in our pond still open every morning and close every night, but they seem to be nearing the end of their bloom. Soon they will close up, and the leaves will sink down into the mud until next year. As we head back toward the longest night, more and more plants put themselves to bed. Cycle in beauty, progress towards peace. Blessed be. Mary Lucille Hayes lives in Birdland, near White Heath. If you're missing your weekly dose of Birdland letters in the News Gazette, you can still read them every week in the Piatt County Journal Republican. Consider subscribing to support your small town newspaper. You can see pictures of the turkeys strutting on Instagram at Birdland Letters. Mary can be reached at letterfrombirdland@gmail.com or via snail mail, care of the Journal Republican, 118 East Washington Street, Monticello, 61856. She wants to thank her friends for writing and will answer you all soon. Letters to the Editor, October 7th edition. Virus side effect in one sentence. Dear Editor, a side effect of this virus is a disregard of logic and reasons by some people in our community, and those same people behave with an insane level of patronizing superiority and disdain while they dole out their lessons to others. Bruce Vetter, Too Handsome to Mask, Monticello. The road looks great. To the Editor, I'd like to express my gratitude to the Piatt County Road Commissioner and crews for the excellent improvement to our roads this summer. It's been pure delight to both drive and bike throughout the county on roads that are in the best shape they've been since we moved here in 1990. Your work is noticed and appreciated. Mary Biddle, White Heath. Where is the flag? To the Editor, I am writing about the Monticello Secretary of State Driver's Facility. Why is the American flag not being flown? The flagpole is rusty and looks bad. I have contacted Henry Haupt, Secretary White's spokesman in Springfield, numerous times about the flag. Nothing is being done about it. I looked at the pole, and the rope looks to be in good shape. This is a state office building, and it's a disgrace the flag is being disrespected. Greg Grady, Monticello. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated October 1st through October 7th. Please be safe. I look forward to reading with you again soon.